January 24th, the venerable female Xenia. Xenia was born in Rome, the only daughter of a prominent senator. Drawn by love for Christ, she refused to enter into marriage as her parents wished, but rather to avoid this, she secretly fled from her home with two of her slaves and arrived at the island of Kos to a place called Mylasa. There she founded a convent for virgins where she lived an ascetical life until her death. Even though she was a frail woman, she possessed a steadfast endurance in fasting, prayer, and all-night vigils. She often stood all night in prayer. She was dressed more poorly than all the other sisters, and the bread which she ate she often sprinkled with ashes from the censer, thurible. At the time of her death, 450 A.D., a wonderful sign appeared over the Virgin's convent, a wreath of stars with a cross in the center brighter than the sun. Many who were sick received healing from her relics. Her female slaves, tonsured nuns, continued in the example of their abbess, and when they died, and according to their wishes, were buried at the feet of Blessed Xenia. The Holy Priest Martyr Babylas. Babylas was a priest in Sicily. He suffered for Christ with two of his disciples in the 3rd century. The Venerable Macedonius. Macedonius was a Syrian hermit. Only in his old age did he feed on baked bread, but before that he ate only grains of barley softened with water. He ended his earthly life in the year 418 A.D. Venerable Philon, Bishop of Cyprus. When St. Epiphanius was summoned to Rome to assist the sister of the Emperor Honorius, by his prayer he consecrated Philon a bishop. Philon exegeted the Pentateuch and the Song of Songs. He died peacefully in the 5th century. The Venerable Dionysius of Olympus. Dionysius was a miracle worker. He lived an ascetical life on Mount Olympus. He was tonsured a monk on Mount Athos, the holy mountain, where he was the abbot of the monastery Philotheu. Toward the end of his life, he withdrew into solitude on Mount Olympus, where he died in the 16th century. Hymn of Praise, St. Xenia.
The Virgin Xenia, as well as Agnes, or the all-glorious Thecla or Anastasia, did not want to be tied to a physical man, but found a bridegroom in the immortal Christ. With all her soul she loved his beauty, and mercy and tenderness and radiant purity, and even the senator's house and wealth she left, when the sun of righteousness shone in her soul. Soul, soul, soul is the true bride, and the body is miserable like the transient grass, and the bride her soul, Xenia, began to adorn, and by many prayers to wash and nourish it, that the bride her soul to be a heavenly apparition, pleasant and worthy of the heavenly bridegroom. The labors of holy Xenia were pleasing to the bridegroom, and many wondrous gifts upon her he bestowed. When her pure soul the flesh overcame, peaceful as a king over a vanquished city, with a wreath of immortality the Lord crowned her, into the mansion of eternal joy led her. There were the angels hymn the Creator in song. There the Lord receives his bride.
Reflection. In our day, you usually hear these words from parents. We want to secure the life of our child. That is why they work very hard to amass wealth, often unjustly, to educate their child in the calling, vocation, which brings the greatest physical security and material benefit. This is done by so-called Christians. They do this because their concept of a real life and the real security of life is erroneous. See how a true Christian mother prepares her son for a real life. At the time of her death, Blessed Euphrosyne spoke to her son Clement of Ancyra, "Do me the honor, O my son, and bravely stand up for Christ and confess him strongly and without hesitation. I hope, in my heart, that the crown of martyrdom will blossom on you in my honor and for the salvation of many. Do not be afraid of threats, nor swords, nor pains, nor wounds, nor fire. Let nothing separate you from Christ, but look up to heaven, and from there await your great, eternal, and rich reward from God. Fear God's majesty, be afraid of his awesome judgment, tremble at his all-seeing eye, for all those who deny him will receive the punishment of unquenchable fire and eternal vigilant worm. Let this be my reward from you, my sweet son, for my pain in childbearing and effort surrounding your education, that I may be called a mother of a martyr. The blood that you received from me do not spare, but shed it that, from that, I can also receive honor. Submit your body to torture that I too may rejoice at that before our Lord as though I myself had suffered for him. Contemplation. To contemplate the Lord Jesus as teacher. As a teacher who teaches how man should think in order to be saved. As a teacher who teaches how man should talk in order to be saved. As a teacher who teaches how a man should act in order to be saved. Homily. About the most all-discerning prophet, Jesus. Why do you harbor evil thoughts in your hearts? St. Matthew chapter 9, verse 4. When our Lord deigned to direct a rebuke to the Pharisees and scribes at that time, they had not killed anyone, nor had they deceived anyone, nor had they looted anyone, and, not only that, at that time, they had not even offended anyone by their words. Why then did our Lord admonish them when they had not committed any sin neither in works nor in words? Why? Because at that time their thoughts were evil. An evil thought is sin. That is the great news which Christ brought into the world. In truth, an evil thought is the sinful source of all sin, because before a man says something or does something sinful, he thinks sinfully. Thought is the causative sin. All other sins are only subsequent sins. Whoever wishes to annihilate those evil actions must uproot those evil thoughts first. Whoever desires to stem the flow of water must first dry up the source. Therefore, let no one justify himself. I am not a sinner, for I have not killed anyone, nor looted from anyone, nor profaned anyone, nor lied to anyone. Behold, we are full of deadly looting, profaning and deceiving thoughts. If we have not committed sin by our own deeds, that is simply a matter of the mercy of God and external circumstances. But if God had yielded, and if the circumstances were favorable, we would have committed all those sins that we had thought. The serpent is not only venomous when it bites, but also when it does not bite, because it carries the venom in itself. Therefore, not only is thought a sin, but also it is the source of sin, the beginning of sin and the seed and root of sin. That is why the all-seeing and all-knowing Lord rebukes those who had evil thoughts. Why do you harbor evil thoughts in your hearts? O Lord, all-seeing and all-knowing, help us to cleanse our hearts and minds from evil thoughts so that our words and deeds may be pure. To you be glory and thanks always. Amen.